flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I'm not sure why, but this just feels like the perfect music for a Jimmy Christensen interview. Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. And as I mentioned, we are joined by the wonderful Jimmy Christensen of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find him on social media at Jimmy_C08. Jimmy, it is awesome to be talking to you, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm surviving the cold, but we're doing good. How are you?
I am fantastic as well. I appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. I always love chatting with you. I always love the way that your brain thinks with just about everything Packers in the NFL. And I think you are the perfect person to ask from a Ben Johnson press conference standpoint. What was going through your mind as you were listening to Ben Johnson talk about Matt LaFleur and how he enjoys beating him two times a year?
You know, it was definitely strange. As I was thinking about it, the way I put it in my brain was it's like I was meeting like a girlfriend's family for the first time, but I'm talking about like another woman. And so it's just kind of like a weird introduction to the team.
That's so perfect.
I mean, it's a choice for sure. It's not one I would have taken, but that's what he went for.
That's the A1 perfect way of putting it. It did really feel like I'm going to meet your family for the first time. And I remember Matt's for the first time too. If you remember, Matt was the most nervous person I think I've ever seen at a podium. It was not anywhere. Neither of these are anywhere Adam Gaze worthy, where he's looking all around the room and the eyes are all blacked out. And that was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. But it was, again, I thought Ben Johnson did a good job from what I saw, but that was definitely an interesting moment. I think we've probably talked about enough Chicago Bears in the first segment. I'm more actually intrigued from a Ben Johnson standpoint. The biggest Ben Johnson news in the division to me is probably not even him going to the Bears. It's him leaving the Detroit Lions along with Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, who is now the New York Jets head coach. They also lost their defensive line coach to the Patriots as a defensive coordinator. They are likely to lose more coaches to both Aaron Glenn and to Ben Johnson in the coming days. What is this going to mean for Detroit? And how much do the losses of Glenn Johnson and the rest of the staff, or multiple people on the staff, affect this team?
Yeah, it's going to be a giant loss. Like, I don't want to take away from Dan Campbell too much. He's an incredible culture builder. Like, we've seen that. All the players rally behind him. But when he first went to the Lions, he had Anthony Lynn as his play caller, and we saw how that started off for the team. Ended up getting fired midseason, bringing in or promoting Ben Johnson, and kind of took off from there a little bit. But just on that offensive side of the ball, they have talent, but Jared Goff, we've seen him hit his ceiling with Ben Johnson. It's kind of like it was with Sean McVay in the beginning of the Rams' tenure when they made the Super Bowl. Obviously fell short there, but if you want to maximize this offense, you have to put Jared Goff in a great situation. So him leaving, it's going to be tough. Are we going to get the same Jared Goff that we've seen the last couple seasons, or are they going to get the one that had to get traded from the Rams because he just couldn't take him to the next level? So It's a big hit. And on the defensive side of the ball, like, as Packer fans, we know all too well how a defensive coordinator can take talent and not perform up to the standards. Like this last season with Halfley, granted, we added pieces on that defense, Xavier McKinney, Cooper, obviously some great talents, but when you don't have the right coordinator, talent can shine a little bit, but you're not going to have that cohesive unit that can break that top 10 in the NFL. So it's going to be a big hit. Like, can they pull it together and kind of get struck by lightning twice with great offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator? Maybe. But it also could take a couple seasons to kind of work that out.
Yeah, we're talking to Jimmy Christensen of the Pack a Day podcast. I agree with you. I do think Dan Campbell's been really tremendous at finding coaches, coordinators for the organization. I think it's been kind of one of his superpowers in surrounding himself with really smart people. It is going to be two of the most sought after jobs, I think, both the offensive coordinator job and the defensive coordinator job in Detroit, whether they go internal or external, will be a very sought after, or both of them will be sought after positions. So they're going to have that going for them for sure. But to your point, I thought Aaron Glenn specifically was phenomenal, especially after all those injuries and they didn't have the pass rush. And I go back to that Green Bay game in particular, and I know Green Bay still put up points in that game and were, you know, toe-to-toe with the Lions through the majority of it. But with all the injuries that they had, the ability to just kind of keep blitzing and coming at Green Bay and just not ever relent, I was really impressed with the job that he did in the second half of the season with his hands tied behind his back with all the injuries that he had. I think that's going to be a big loss. And then, of course, like Ben Johnson, the architect of that Lions offense. I'm sure that they are going to be able to do some things to make it work. They've got a great offensive line. Amon-Ra St. Brown's a stud. Jameson Williams starting to come into his own. They have one of the best, if not the best, running back duos in the NFL. And Jared Goff is still a really good quarterback, but they were perfect for that system. And if they can continue to run pieces of that, I'm sure it'll be successful. But even just a different play caller, different schemer, designer, that I think that's definitely going to change some of the things that Detroit has done. And they're coming off a postseason where they did not win a playoff game either. So I think this is a really interesting offseason, the remainder of the way for the Detroit Lions and how it's going to affect them moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't say I'm upset they didn't win a playoff game. It definitely made me feel better watching that, but it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back. I still think the NFC North is going to be a really tough division. Even tougher now with Ben Johnson going to the Bears. It's going to be four teams that you can honestly make a case in your mind to have a playoff spot. So it'll be a fun but a stressful season next year, I think.
And it's going to be really interesting the rest of the offseason in the NFC North, just to see what Green Bay does with their money, what Minnesota does at QB, the coordinators in Detroit, and how they try to upgrade their roster. And then Chicago, I'm sure, is going to be very spend heavy as they try to build for this new Ben Johnson era in Chicago. All going to be worth monitoring. Again, being joined by Jimmy Christensen of the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find him on social media at Jimmy_C08. One of the things we're going to be talking about in our final segment here today is Brian Gutekunst and specifically his draft history. Let me ask you, Jimmy, how would you evaluate and or grade Brian Gutekunst just on his draft prowess so far in his time in Green Bay?
I'm going to try to take the recency bias out of it.
All right.
Because I think his last two drafts did really well. Multiple starters in the draft a couple seasons ago, last year too. Cooper, a bright spot, Evan Williams, Bullard. Bullard played well, obviously. He'll have some rookie pains anyways, but for draft alone, maybe like a B-, maybe B-, C+. Like, we did have a couple years there where, like, Jordan Love saved his draft class. If it wasn't for Jordan Love, that would have been an awful draft class. Like, I know AJ Dillon, great culture person for Green Bay, embraced the city, got hurt by injury the last couple seasons, obviously missed all last year, but just overall there, he's missed. And he started off hot. Like, he got Jair Alexander, Rashawn Gary, and then you kind of go from there. And it's that he definitely likes to take risk in that the first round pick, people that you don't mind developing. So it's worked out. We've seen Jordan Love, Rashawn Gary, and even Darnell Savage. I know he's not on the team anymore, but for a couple seasons, I was convinced we had a great safety back there. Obviously, it didn't end up working out, but this past year, Jordan Morgan, like, hopefully he comes back from injury and proves it. But him and the scout team are great at finding gems later on in the rounds and able to kind of plug in there. Like, Zach Tom is a perfect example of it. Of now we have our future right tackle, and he's a later pick in the draft. But it's that first round where he's kind of been hit or miss right now. And that's really where you find those big difference makers. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, certainly the top of the draft is noteworthy. You look at 2020 and 2021 combined, there's a real world in which Jordan Love is the only Packer on the 2025 roster that is from either of those drafts. Jordan Love was taken in the first pick in 2020. His next picks in 2020 and 2021 went A.J. Dillon, Josiah DeGuara, Kamal Martin, John Runyon Jr., Jake Hansen, Simon Stepaniak, Vernon Scott, Jonathan Garvin, Eric Stokes, Josh Myers, Amari Rodgers, Royce Newman, T.J. Slayton, Shamar John Charles, Cole Van Lannen, Isaiah McDuffie, Kylan Hill. There's a chance they bring back Stokes. There's a chance they bring back Myers. There's a chance they bring back Slayton, or maybe even an Isaiah McDuffie. Those are names that could theoretically be back. I don't think Dylan's going to be back. It literally could be just Jordan Love. Even if it isn't, even if one of those guys is back, even if they bring back a McDuffie or a Myers or a Slayton, it will literally just be, you know, Love and that one other guy. Now, like you said, Love, if he's really good, probably saves that in its entirety. Getting a franchise quarterback out of it is worth its weight in gold. But after that Love pick, the next, I don't know, what is it, like 15, 16 picks there were really, yeah, really tough. And I think is a big reason why maybe Green Bay hasn't reached higher points and higher levels at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. And it's weird looking at those, because I'm looking at the list of it right now, too. Like, looking at that 2020 draft, the 2021, and then you see his next, where it's like, I don't know what happened, who they hired, or what switch flipped in the brain, but we have some, like, you go from there. We have Christian Watson. I know fans are going to have their arguments on Twitter about that, but even Quay Walker at his moments, Devontae Wyatt, Romeo Doubs, Tom, and then you go to the next, the 2023 draft, like, there's so much potential. Even now, I know our skill unit probably didn't take the step a lot of people wanted, aside from Tucker Kraft really stepping up there, but Musgrave, freak athlete, hurt by injury, you never know next year. Jaden Reed, like I said, Tucker Kraft, Dontavian Wicks, that we had high hopes for going into the season. Sophomore slump's surreal, he can bounce back. So he had two back-to-back rough drafts, and then kind of followed up by three pretty decent drafts there in a row. So hopefully that trend continues. You don't go back to that 2020, 2021 version, but it's definitely been a mixed bag.
One thing I will say, and I think it sometimes goes underrated, is we see players obviously go through kind of some, you know, some hiccups in their first couple of years, and then they can go through a jump and kind of learn from their mistakes. It is not different for head coaches and general managers. Like, general managers can learn from the things that have been successful and learn from their mistakes. Just like a player, they can have different you know jumps in their career as well. And I think that goes underrated sometimes. And sometimes why you see some of these coaches and GMs that are better in their second stint after they've had the experience, and even if it was a failed experience in their first one, is sometimes it takes time to really find your rhythm as a GM. Find out what works for you. What are you good at? What are your strengths? And I think sometimes it can take a while to really kind of hone in and figure out, you know, how to navigate some of that stuff. And I think even just if you look at the difference between, you know, going and getting an Amari Rodgers in 2021, a smaller, you know, sort of slot gadgety type receiver, and being a total miss, you know, 2 years later, they're in a similar situation in the second round where, you know, they're going to take another, you know, sort of slot gadgety wide receiver in Jaden Reed. And maybe some of it's just luck, and maybe they get one wrong, get one right, and it just is what it is. But, you know, the ability to sort of evaluate that better, they could have completely went away from it and be like, well, we're not going to ever do that again. But instead they didn't. They reevaluated. They found out what they did wrong. They looked at Jaden Reed and said, hey, I think he has the right traits. And man, what a huge draft pick he has been. So I think there is a lot of a learning curve along the way, even for an NFL general manager.
Oh, yeah. I 100% agree. And I think you can definitely, too, kind of add to this. Like, once he fully committed to the youth movement and we kind of knew the direction following Jordan Love, and because for a time he was kind of balancing the, we still have Rodgers, what are we going to do with him? We need to move to Love eventually or figure out if he's the guy. And it seemed once he committed to Love, the draft, I don't know if it's just he was able to solely focus on, you know what, we're young now, we're going to take a little more risk in some areas, kind of take a little more sure things. I don't know. I'm not a GM for a reason. I have like a third grade education, but in my mind, it seemed like once that switch happened to go all in on Love, things kind of clear up a little bit in the draft.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's spot on. Once again, we're being joined by Jimmy Christensen, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Jimmy_C08. I want you to put your Brian Gutekunst hat on, Jimmy, since we're thinking about Goody here. What would you like to see Goody do to approach this offseason? He talked about a level of urgency and a sense of urgency that this organization needs to have. Says it's time for this team to start winning championships. If that's the case, what does Goody need to do to get this team to that level?
We've seen in the past, he takes a position and he attacks it. Like, we saw it last year with the safety position. Sign Xavier McKinney. We still go out and get Evan Williams. We get Ballard. I know he was down in the slot a little bit too, but you're adding to that secondary position. And I can see him doing that again, taking that cornerback room. Like, Jaire Alexander is a question mark right now. Currently, he's on the roster. We don't know what's going to happen. Eric Stokes is going to be leaving, though he wasn't a big part of that defense, especially in the last couple games. But that could be a room that he pulls a safety strategy like he did last year. Draft someone. Maybe there's someone we can sign. Throw multiple picks at it. Then you look at other positions like the edge room, the defensive ends. Like, we have talent there. Obviously, Rashawn Gary's there. He had a bit of a down year. Lucas Van Ness, you don't want to give up on him yet. You spend a first-round pick. That one seems to me that it's more of just one or two pieces away, so it's not something you have to go fully safety room on and throw a free agent signing, three draft picks. Like, there's definitely some free agents out there that you could bring in and just add another piece, but that's definitely an area that you need to boost up, and you can kind of hope that the new defensive line coach coming in can bring that up. And I know people want another wide receiver. I'm not going to complain if we bring one in, especially with Christian Watson missing a good chunk of next season. So that's definitely a room that can use a veteran presence. But for me, solidify that cornerback room and that pass rush. I have a lot of confidence in Matt LaFleur. Not saying I don't in Halfley, but I think we can do a little bit more on the offense to kind of make up for some lack of things there, where our defense, if we can bring that from, I know we were top 10, but if we can bring that up top 5 and just have a really dominant unit, I have the faith in LaFleur to do what he needs to there.
I want to throw this past you because I'm currently sort of struggling with it as I look at this offseason and what Green Bay is going to do. I do think they're going to spend money. I do think they're going to be aggressive. I do think we're going to see a couple, you know, I don't know if it's going to be like monstrous free agent signings, but I think there's going to be a couple impact players added to this team. You mentioned corner, you mentioned pass rusher. I think wide receiver you mentioned as well. I think offensive line would be the other one that's in that conversation. I think those are the areas where you really kind of want to see this team upgrade in the trenches. And then again, corner and wide receiver at those playmaking spots. Those feel like the areas that Green Bay can use a little bit of a boost. I also look at it from the opposite side of, we just heard Goody in his press conference say, hey, we don't really think that, you know, spending a bunch of money on a 1A, you know, wide receiver that usually doesn't bear fruit, that's not usually what the best of the best teams are doing. They've done it, you know, it seems like they've done some analysis of this. So I could make an argument of like, all right, well, that's not the direction they're going to go in. I could see on the offensive line them really feeling like, hey, we've got Rashid Walker at left tackle. We've got Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, and Elton Jenkins on the interior with Zach Tom at right tackle. Even if Josh Myers isn't back, we feel like we've already got our starting five on the offensive line. Yeah, we need to build depth, but maybe they're not going to go out and spend big money on a big free agent at that position for that very reason. At pass rush, I can already, you know, sort of get the feel of, all right, well, we, you know, they still have Rashawn Gary and LVN and Enigbare and Clark, and, you know, maybe they need to fill Slayton, so maybe defensive tackle is that position, but they've already invested a lot of first round picks and a lot of resources into that defensive front, so I could make the argument maybe that's not the direction that they go in. And then corner, we just heard them talk about how they really liked how the corner room solidified itself with Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon on the outside with Javon Bullard in the slot. And you know, we don't even know what's exactly going to happen with Jair Alexander yet, although I do believe he probably ends up released. Like, maybe because of that, they don't end up spending a huge contract in corner. I feel like there's all these like sort of red herrings there of like, all right, these are all reasons why maybe it doesn't happen. But I think those are still the positions that they need to upgrade. I don't even know the question that I have for you, Jimmy. I'm just struggling to figure out, all right, what position is it that they actually go and spend this big money on?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out this morning too, thinking about it. And there's a couple names that stand out. This is one, it's not even a position I mentioned right now, and this is more selfish in my mind, that I think it'd be fun to add to the room. But bringing in like a Dre Greenlaw, he's coming off the Achilles injury, came back a little bit last year. He'd be a step up in coverage for that linebacker room. And then you also give Walker and Cooper, who play their best when they're able to just attack a spot and get a little creative with what they can do. And you bring kind of that a little bit more of a veteran presence back there. Someone who's played with Fred Warner the last few seasons, kind of bring that standard to our room. I think it could do a lot for Quay Walker. I think it could do a lot for Cooper. And then also improve, hopefully, our defense in the middle of the field, especially when it comes to attacking the linebackers, because that was a weakness that we had this past season, even though there were flashes from both Walker and Cooper. Another one, I think this would be like my big splash, and I think you tweeted about it too, that it makes sense. Like a Khalil Mack, bringing into that defensive line, someone that can do really well in the pass rush, resurgence the last couple years, and he's also really, really solid in the run defense. And that's something that we improved on a lot this past season. that rush defense, and bringing him to that as well can only bolster that. So he'd be a splash. And then my last selfish one is Rasul Douglas, just for the fact of I love Rasul Douglas and be fun to have him back. No other reason, no smart reason behind it, except I'm a fan of him. But those are kind of the ones I was thinking. And just a random wide receiver veteran. Won't be a big splash, but just someone in there, Darius Slayton, stuck on the Giants forever. Still had a few seasons with 700 yards when you had Daniel Jones and whoever filled in when he was injured. Tommy DeVito, bringing him in, just someone that can have explosive plays as we're kind of waiting for Christian Watson to come back. Nothing crazy, but just a veteran in that room.
Go get New York Giants when they become free agents. It worked with Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney last year. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. And if there's a free agent that becomes available, go get those guys, because they're probably a lot better than their play indicated in New York, because it's New York and they don't do anything right in that organization more often than not. So I don't hate that philosophy at all. Really quick, Jimmy, before we get you out of here, more likely to be back in Green Bay, Rasul Douglas or Davante Adams?
Oh. I would say contract-wise, Rasul Douglas. And also, I feel like if Rodgers goes to a team, he could do that little handicap like he did with Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard when he wanted to go to the Jets, bring someone in and make him feel happy. But there's definitely more smoke around Davante. I just don't know how the money works out there is my biggest hesitation. If I knew it wasn't going to be a top-of-market contract, which I don't think it is for his age and all of that, but I don't think he's going to take a team friendly deal, especially how he left when it was kind of, he was a little offended by our first offer and it rubbed him the wrong way. I don't think now he's going to have a big change of heart. So, I think for that reason alone, it might be Rasul Douglas, but I'll take either of them back.
I would as well.
Name my child, whichever name they come back.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Jimmy, you're the absolute best. What are you working on? What do you got coming out this week? Anything that you want to plug on the way out?
Right now, nothing too much to plug. I'm kind of relaxing with the family right now and hanging out, but I do want to shout out Big Jim, my dad. Happy birthday to him. It was yesterday, so I know he's listening at work right now, so figured I want to plug that in at the end.
More than welcome to do so. Big Jim, happy birthday to you. Thank you for bringing this wonderful human being into this world. And Jimmy, I cannot thank you enough. I always enjoy our conversations. We'll definitely do it again in the future, and you have a great rest of your day, my friend.
Perfect, man. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line, 414-677-1250. We're going to be talking about Brian Gutekunst as a drafter. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.